Our reading is from Acts chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth had been carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them at the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified this servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through the holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.' Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are the heirs of the prophets and the covenant of God made with your fathers." He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring all people on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. I don't know what your ordinary days are like, the things that you do by rote when you get up: thump the alarm clock, swing your legs out of bed, grunt on your way to the bathroom, or maybe that's just me. Then the rest of your ordinary day proceeds. We all have them, however they go along, in their different ways. The things we do, the meal tables that we gather round, the commutes to work, the walks to school, the desks we sit at, the kitchens we prepare meals in, the sofas we relax on. Our lives are made up of ordinary days. And somehow, in the midst of these ordinary days, we can also find opportunities to share the extraordinary good news of Jesus. Not by breaking out of our ordinary days, but by simply taking advantage of the situations that we find ourselves in. As we thought about last week, the go of the Great Commission is not go away, but be about it right where we are in the midst of our ordinary days. There is and always has been an imperative for the body of Christ to share the gospel so that more people are drawn into a relationship with Jesus. And rather than this becoming a burden for us, something that we try and squeeze extra into our lives, perhaps instead we should see it as just being a natural part of our ordinary days. It's not about forcing ourselves into situations where we blurt out the gospel wherever there is a slight pause in the conversation. But it's about us using the natural opportunities that open up in our daily lives to speak about the hope that Jesus brings to all people. Ordinary day evangelism is where we can naturally introduce others to Jesus and what he has done for us in our conversations. Where we can hear something that's going on in someone's life, and we know that the way forward has something to do with Jesus. And we share that solution with kindness and respect. Because this is what the first disciples would have done. We don't get a record of every second of one of their days, but we do get some snapshots of some of their mission encounters. And one is found when Peter and John go to the temple one afternoon. Jesus called his disciples to preach the good news in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here in Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John fulfilling the first part of this in preaching in Jerusalem, right where they were. It was just an ordinary day for Peter and John. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says of the early church that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And Peter and John, on this ordinary day, were going to the service of public prayer that accompanied the evening sacrifice at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Outside, what Luke refers to as the Gate Beautiful, was a lame man who sought alms there, trying to incite the generosity of temple goers to give him some money. The man had been lame since birth, probably as the result of some congenital condition, but he would have been excluded from entering the temple because he'd been deemed to be unclean. So he's completely reliant on the money given to him by others in order to survive. Seeing Peter and John, he asked them for money, just as he would have done to thousands of other people in the past, but this time he doesn't get quite what he expected. Peter stares straight at him, giving the impression that he's looking deeper, just as in the same way you got the impression that Jesus looked deeper at people. And Peter asks the man to look at him and John. And in that moment of eye-to-eye contact, Peter sees beyond the financial need of the man and sees that the real need of this one who has been marginalized and excluded from his life is something else. An eerie echo of Jesus doing the same kind of thing. The man probably thinks he's going to get some money, but then Peter asks for his undivided attention and says, "We haven't got any silver or gold, but I'm going to give you what I have got." The lame man was probably initially disappointed, but then Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." This lame man would have probably heard news of Jesus circulating in Jerusalem. He might have even seen Jesus walking past him into the temple. But here, Peter and John were not only saying Jesus' name, but they were doing something like Jesus did. For just as Luke records Jesus healing a lame man in his gospel, here he records those who are now the body of Jesus in the world healing a lame man. The authority of Jesus has been passed on to his disciples and is shown in action. Through the Holy Spirit, the power and authority of Jesus is seen in Peter's gracious action. And Peter takes the man by the right hand just as Jesus had done with Peter's mother-in-law. And the ankles and feet that had been lame come to life again and are made strong. And the man uses his legs for the first time in his life. And he doesn't just take tentative steps, but he walks and he jumps, praising God. And so the words of Isaiah of a future time of restoration come to pass. The lame will leap like a deer. And the people who were so used to seeing the lame beggar sat by the side of the path instead see him dancing around like a mad thing. And they're filled with wonder and amazement. And Peter uses this as an opportunity to share something of Jesus with them. He shares something of the story of Israel, of how Jesus comes as the fulfillment of all things, as the one who brings hope to all people. In 1992, it's a very long time ago these days, there was a football match between Aston Villa and Liverpool. And with the goalkeeper and the defenders beaten, there was an open goal, and a footballer called Ronnie Rosenthal had only to kick the ball into the back of the net. He was 8 metres out. He kicks the ball and he hits the crossbar. And it's gone down as one of the worst misses in football history. Poor old Ronnie, he's remembered for his miss rather than all the goals he scored. The secret to ordinary day evangelism is taking the opportunity when it's in front of you. When there's an open goal, take the shot and score. Don't hit the crossbar. Just do it. And we all have opportunities for evangelism. They could be out when we're out for a coffee with someone. They could be when we're in the library. You've got to keep quiet though when you're in the library for these things. It could be when you're in the post office or in the supermarket at work. It could be when you're getting your hair done or visiting the vet. It could be with people you've known for years. It could be with people you've never met before. Could be on your way to church on a Sunday morning. We are surrounded by opportunities. Peter and John were walking to the temple as they probably did every day. Probably going through the same gate that they went through every day. Probably going past the same beggar that they went past every day. But on this day, it was something different. Something different happened. God's Spirit moved something in Peter and John to respond to the lame man's cry for money and touched something within them that encouraged them to respond differently. Even though they didn't have any money, it responded to take that opportunity. And sometimes we get those feelings where we know we just have to call someone or visit someone or stop a bit longer with someone on the street. We don't always follow through with those opportunities. We leave that phone call unmade. We stay at home instead of visiting. Or we rush on rather engaging with someone on the street. But sometimes we do pause. Sometimes we do take the initiative and engage. And we end up in an encounter with something significant happens. And just perhaps for followers of Jesus, these feelings are not random, but they are promptings of the Holy Spirit. And just as Peter and John were prompted by the Holy Spirit to engage with the lame man, these promptings are leading us to mission opportunities in our ordinary lives. And we need to use these opportunities that are right in front of us and not waste them. Take the open goal. Take the shot. Accept the potential that we might be ignored. Jesus was often ignored. Accept the potential of being rejected. Jesus was often rejected. Accept the potential of people not understanding us. Jesus wasn't always understood. Take the opportunities that the Holy Spirit leads you to as the beginning of your ordinary evangelism. And what would happen instead of ignoring those promptings and getting on with what we would like to do? What would it be like if we instead took those opportunities and began something? Taking our opportunities is the first stage in ordinary evangelism. Peter and John, after responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, went about making a connection with the man. It may seem a bit of an odd way of doing things, but they asked him to look at them just as they were looking at him. But that was a way of making a connection. The lame man would have asked hundreds of people for money each day. But how many of those people would have made eye contact with him? What do you do when you see someone who's begging in the street? Do you look away, cross the road, look at your feet, pretend to look in a shop window? I doubt human nature has changed that much in 2,000 years. And people wouldn't have looked at the lame man begging as they walked past him. They maybe chucked a few coins in his direction, but there would have been no eye contact with him. But Peter and John look him in the eye. This makes this more than a random encounter. This makes it a personal encounter. And this is what Jesus always did. He made personal connections with people. He did it with the woman at the well. He did it with Zacchaeus, the rich young ruler. He made sure that the people he met didn't stay strangers. He connected with them, and everything else flowed from that. And it's in the connection that we make with people that we can understand the real issues that they're facing. And Peter and John acted as Jesus did. They connected and saw the deepest need within the man, other than money. It may have seemed obvious that the man needed to walk, but just like many problems today, it was a problem that was deemed unfixable. We too need to make connections with people as Jesus did, just as Peter and John did. And once we make connections, things will become apparent to us. We need to move from things becoming random encounters to things becoming personal encounters, realizing that we have been blind to things and that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us what we need to see in others. What can we connect with people? Shared interests, age, background? But what about the look of pain in someone's eyes? The way they hold themselves? The longing in their voice? And if people give you permission by responding to the connection that you made, go further in your conversation. Don't be afraid. Jesus is with you in this. Making connections with people is where we build on the opportunities that are right before us in everyday evangelism. And once we've taken the opportunities that are right in front of us, once we've made the connection, simply have a conversation. When Peter and John were faced with the question of how something could happen in the life of the lame man, the answer was always something to do with Jesus. With the need of the lame man before them, Peter and John trusted in someone who had the power to change things. They did what they could in the face of the issue at hand. Praying for healing for them was not a shot in the dark. They trusted in the strong name of Jesus. They knew it was not them, and their less than mustard seed worth of faith that would heal the man, but the power and authority that they've been given by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And we can always pray for people. Prayer is not a shot in the dark, but a response of faith. Asking for things in the strong name of Jesus. Prayer is not a throwaway response, but about putting the situation before us in the hands of Jesus. We can pray for the miraculous to happen. Ask people if they'd like you to pray with them. Ask permission, though. Evangelism is something that can come from the conversations we have with people, as we make that connection, as we get to know them, as we build on a relationship, as we take those opportunities that are right before us. Evangelism is not something that needs to be out of the ordinary for followers of Jesus, but is to be something that is in the ordinary. Evangelism in the everyday is what it could be like. Just imagine if we engaged in evangelism in the ordinary. Think if we took the opportunities that the Holy Spirit presents us with, that we make connections, that we engage in conversations about Jesus with the people we meet day by day. Could the church grow like it did in the early days? When the church all through history has engaged in evangelism in the ordinary, remarkable things have happened, and the same could happen for us if we dare to act in faith. If we dare to be led by the Spirit and the power, in the power of Jesus, into the mission field of our ordinary days. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we journey through our ordinary days with you, give us eyes to see what is right before you. Give us eyes to see those that we meet. Give us ears to hear the promptings of your Spirit. Give us courage to respond and go in your name. Help us to take the opportunities you present to us to build connections and have conversations, all for the sake of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name.